God in prayer and take a sister with you. James says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Choose well who you run to. But there is power in accountability, and there is power in finding someone to agree with you to conquer that thing. Because at the end of the day, it's about a shared enemy. All right, so let's talk about some practical ways that we resist the devil. Number one, set your focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I'm teaching Owen how to drive, and I tell my son, you will steer where you stare. If you stare at that row of mailboxes, that is where we are going. You know what I'm saying? In your life, you will steer where you stare. And sometimes the enemy's goal is to just throw so much at you, or these little distractions, to get you so focused on that you will just steer your life towards it. If your focus is your checkbook, you're going to steer your life towards that. If your focus is a relationship, you're going to steer your life towards that. If your focus is towards your business, you're going to steer your life towards that. And scripture is very, very clear. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And if you will fix your eyes on him, you will steer in the direction that you stare. And the word of God is true. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I love the word all in the Bible, because all means all, and that's all means. All these things. Well, what about a husband? Yes, all. What about a house? Yes, all. What about a career? Yes, all. What about size 6? Talk to someone else about that. All these things will be added unto you. Then I love Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is having a conversation with a lawyer. There's always a lawyer, right? Even in the Bible, there were lawyers, praise God. Lawyers and politicians, even in the Word of God. And the lawyer comes up to Jesus and says, what's the greatest of all the commandments? Because the lawyer knows the law, right? And so he's going to try to trip Jesus up with his legal eagle ways. And Jesus says, what do you think the greatest of all the commandments are? And this conversation is also in Matthew 22. So Luke 10 and Matthew 22. And the lawyer answers correctly. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus in Matthew 22 says, you have answered correctly. Do this and live. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two things. What I love about this verse is that it tells me and it reminds me that you have to give your whole self to Jesus. In this verse, I circle heart, soul, strength. You guys know that when you come to Jesus Christ, the heart of stone is removed, the heart of flesh is replaced in it. Every single person walking on this planet is controlled by one of two spirits, either the Holy Spirit or the God of this age. We talked about that on week one. There are only two teams. And when you become a believer, the Spirit of the living God comes and rests inside your heart. And then he is working on your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And he is working to make those things more and more like Jesus. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are the personality of who you are. It is how God has wired you up. It is why you laugh at certain jokes. It's why you dress the way you dress. It's why your personality is either outgoing or introverted, or depending on the setting, a little bit of both. It is who you are as a person. That is your soul. And then your strength is your physical body. And what Jesus and then the Word of God is telling us is that you have got to love the Lord your God with every part of who you are. You can't just let this part of you go to church on Sunday and then the other two-thirds of you live like they want to live. That ain't going to happen and it ain't going to work. Your mind, body, and your soul. And then it also says, love your neighbor as yourself. There's that humility again. When you put other people first, it will naturally place you second. And that is sometimes so hard because we want what we want, right? But if you will just love your neighbor, Scripture says, prefer one another. Prefer one another. A culture of honor. Let me honor you. Let me let you have that parking place that I've clearly been sitting here for 5 minutes with my blinker on, waiting on at Macy's, and it's 110 degrees. But clearly, you need it, sir. Clearly. Prefer one another. Humble yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the last slide here. Be practical ways we resist the devil. The first one was we set our focus on Jesus. The second one is be sober-minded or alert. And this is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter's writing, and he says, be self-controlled and alert. I'm reading from the NIV. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. What I love about this verse is he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is roaring around like a lion. Enjoy everything, ladies. Be drunk on nothing. Enjoy your sports, but don't let them intoxicate you to the point that it alters your behavior and your priorities. Love your job. Do what God has created you to do. Make that money, girl. Make it. But don't become so drunk on it that it alters your priorities and it makes you less sober-minded because you're drunk on something else. Don't worship your family and make that your God, that you become drunk on it and you can't stay alert and nimble-minded. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, do not get drunk on wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to grab my water over here beside this pit. I can have this cup of water, and I can stand beside this cup of water. I can hold this cup of water. I can smell this cup of water. I can think about this cup of water. But this cup of water is going to do absolutely nothing to refresh me or to wet my mouth unless I take this water in. You can think about the Holy Spirit. You can go to church on Sunday. You can hang out with people who also love Jesus. Maybe there are five other virgins waiting on a bridegroom. I don't know. But until you take the time to take it in, it will not refresh you, and it will not change what is happening in you, ergo it will not change what's happening around you. When Paul writes in Ephesians 5, do not be drunk on wine. We have all seen people who've imbibed a little too much on New Year's Eve, right? It affects the way they talk, they walk, they think. He says instead, be drunk on the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about drinking. He says you can't just be around it. You have to take it into who you are if you want it to change the way you walk, talk, think, and act. So guys, I would just challenge you, be sober-minded and just drink the Holy Spirit in through His Word, through worship, through fellowship with other believers. But like the parable taught us in Matthew 25, you can't go borrow somebody else's oil when your lamp needs to burn. Oil isn't something you can go get from somebody else. Oil is something that you have to set aside and that you have to prepare for yourself. So the last verse I'll leave you with is in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. And this is an encouraging verse. It see here. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. This is Jesus teaching. He says, be dressed and ready for service. In the New King James Version, it says, have your waist girded. We all know what truth is, right? It is the belt of truth. And keep your lamps burning. He's like, be ready. Keep truth around you and keep the Holy Spirit and your knowledge of the word burning at all times. Like men waiting for their masters to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them waiting when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, and they will recline at the table and come and wait on them. Jesus is saying, later in that verse, he says, if you will stay ready, if you will keep the truth around you, if you will stay vigilant and watchful, even if the bridegroom comes after midnight or when it's really, really dark and you're really, really tired, you'll be ready to open the door to him and then he'll serve you. Sometimes you're going to be in the hardest firefights of your life. And you are just doing everything you can to keep the truth around you and to keep yourself sober and alert. And you are resisting the devil. But friend, I'm telling you, your bridegroom cometh. And he will say, have a seat. I've got this fight. Let me serve you. This is not your fight. This is my fight. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There are just some battles flesh and blood can't win. And so we sit down and we go, go get them, Jesus. Go get them. But it's that staying alert and vigilant so that when he knocks, we can open that door and we can let him into that situation. So girls, that is how we stay vigilant and we stay sober-minded and we stay alert so that we can resist our devil, the enemy. You're going to have a great discussion with your table leaders. And I hope that you will be a part of our fall study. When we talk about unlocking the promises of God's word, we're gonna get together 4 more times before the end of the year. And I just love the timing with it being about harvest in this time of year and understanding how do we harvest the promises of God and make them fruitful in our own lives. So I hope you'll be a part of that. And then also, I hope you'll consider being a part of this team. We would love to have you. We're just a bunch of girls who love Jesus. And how many of you know when you sit with women who sit with Jesus, your life will change? So let me pray for you, and then you're going to have an incredible discussion. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every woman here that she is going to have supernatural strength to resist the devil. Father, I thank you that right now he is fleeing from her. God, she is submitted to God. She is asking the Holy Spirit, search me, O God, and see if there be any unclean way in me. And right now she is finding out exactly what she needs to close off in her life. She is choosing freedom over bondage because she is choosing obedience over rebellion in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that she is preparing herself to teach her children how to walk in a knowledge and freedom of Jesus Christ. She is preparing herself to tell friends how she has found water, how she has been refreshed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you are going to call her to yourself over the next several days. Your word is going to come alive in her. She's going to tithe that first 10 minutes of her day, Father, and she's going to see you move in the other 23 hours and 50 minutes in ways she could not even imagine in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you are raising up women, Father God, who are strong, who are fearless, Father, and who are wholly dependent upon you. Because you choose the weak to prove yourself strong. So God, we bless your name, we praise you, and we thank you for everything that you are doing in these women's lives. Keep them safe, bless them, and bring them back to us in October. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I can't wait to see you girls on Sunday and in October. Enjoy your talk.
If you want them to do the survey, you might want to put the survey back up again. It's you.
You're so awesome.